Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church, Macedonia, Philippi. And I'd like to read the first scripture found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Now it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and I want to make sure you understand what he just said. He said that he would be content, whatever state he is in. And sometimes people think that means that if I'm poor, I just be content and stay poor. Well, it doesn't quite mean that. Let me give you of what it means here when I take some of the other translations and I do a little bit more research on it. He says here that do not think that I am saying this under pressure of want. What he's saying in Philippians from 1, chapters 1 through 4, he is saying, I'm not saying this under pressure through want. In other words, as they send gifts to him, he's not saying what he's saying to them for pressure, putting them under pressure to give to him. He said, for I have learned in whatsoever circumstances I am to be independent. To be independent, that's the J.B. Rotterdam translation, and it's interesting about that, he's saying that I don't care where I am, I'm not dependent on the system of the world, I can get my needs met. That's the Apostle Paul. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Communicate means to give. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me to give. Concerning giving and receiving, underline giving and receiving, but you only. For even as in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Underline, sacrifice. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what does he mean by that? My God shall supply all your need. It doesn't mean that God is going to supply your need out of his riches. He is saying that he's going to supply your need according to his riches. According to the good things that he enjoys in heaven, he's going to make sure you enjoy on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? There is no hood in heaven. I just want to clear that up because somebody might be thinking that's a hood. Okay? So, he'll be supplying him the same way. And when you think of God in this relation, in that kind of relationship, he says something in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have shown you all these things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in the normal King James Bible, that's in the red. Am I right about that? Okay, so what does he mean by it's more blessed to give than to receive? I looked up one of the books of Dr. Oral Roberts, who's gone on to be with the Lord now, and he said he, when he first saw that, he wondered, what did that mean? And he said to him, it would seem like it's more blessed to receive than to give. So he said after doing some research, he found out that it meant that it is more productive to give than to receive. Why? Because what you give and only what you give can be multiplied and not what you receive. And God wants to multiply your giving. More productive. So God's way is to give expecting to receive. Now when he says this, he is not having some idea that you're not supposed to expect anything back from God. Because if you remember, God says we're created in his image and after his likeness. And in Ephesians, he said, imitate God. So God gave expecting to receive. Matter of fact, God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Did he expect to receive anything back? Yep. The first thing he got back was his son. And the next thing he got back was you. So I'm saying that this whole idea of giving to receive or giving or sowing a seed or planting what I call precious seed or a sacrifice seed, it's very, very powerful. I taught on that last Sunday and somebody wrote me a letter during the week. They said on August 4th or whenever at 7 a.m. service during the increase message, you taught on the sacrifice seed. And as you spoke, the Holy Ghost spoke to us, my wife and I, at the same time saying to give it all. And we said we sowed it. And we sowed $468.82. Now, I'm not telling you to sow that. I'm telling you that's what the Holy Ghost told them to sow. We sowed every dime. And now, that was at the 7 o'clock service. And then we received a phone call as they apparently were about to go back from the service or leave the service after it was over because they had gotten a ride with somebody else because they had no car. And that person says they have something for us. Could we hang around until the 11:15 service? And we did. And when we did hang around for that 11:15 service, that person came and dropped in our hands the keys to a Lincoln Town Car and registration and insurance. Pastor, I have heard you say many times that if you sow in faith, you can get blessed before you leave the meeting. And that's exactly what happened to them. My God shall supply all of your need. Now, this is the power of a sacrifice seed. If you look in some of the scriptures in Mark chapter 12, there's a woman who had two mites. If look in 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a woman who even built a little prophet's quarters on. That was a sacrifice seed. 1 Kings chapter 17, the person only had one more meal left and gave the prophet of God that meal, and God began to multiply. Look at Peter's boat. Peter had come in from all-night fishing. He was tired. He wanted to go home and get some rest. Yet he stayed around and let Jesus use his boat. That was a sacrifice seed. And I'm saying that as we look at this, there's all through the Bible. And when he gave a sacrifice seed, it seems like immediately God moved. This wasn't, you know, 3 weeks later or whatever have you. That's the power of a sacrifice seed. Now also, I just like to close and say, one, that when you do so, look to God as your source. In other words, don't look to friends or your own thinking or your church, your spouse, your children, your job, your bank account, or someone else. Don't look to them. Look to God as your source, because He's not only your source, but He's your supply. And I want to say that God will get it back to you. I don't care what the situation is. No one can abrogate the law of sowing and weeping. That's a big word. You might want to look that up. Praise the Lord. Means no one can stop it from functioning. No one. No system, no demonic system, nothing can stop it from functioning. See, He gave that to you because He knew that in this world, the devil doesn't like you. Now, you might think he kind of favors you, but he doesn't like you at all, and he wants to stop your progress, but he can't when you enter into the law of sowing and reaping. Say amen to that. I'd like to end with this story is that when we first went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I was going to graduate school down there in seminary, and as we went, we got down there, it was half the school year, we got down there around Christmas, and as we did, it was just on me to, you know, do something for somebody, and I shared it with my wife, and we decided, hey, we want to bless somebody. So we went to the grocery store and shopped, we got all these groceries and put them in the car, and then we said, well, where are we going to go? Where are we going to give it? I said, well, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost to guide us. So we began to pray and end up on highway and ended up on the north side of Tulsa. North side of Tulsa is where a lot of the African-American community lives, and some of the areas over there are very poor. We ended up in a government housing project, pulled up in a housing project, and I saw somebody. I said, hey, you know somebody that wants some groceries or needs some groceries? They said, yeah, I know so-and-so, but it didn't bear witness with my spirit. So I said, thank you, and kept going, and saw somebody else. But we ended up at the end of the housing project, and a lady coming down from the second floor or whatever. I said, hey, ma'am, you know somebody needs some groceries? Oh, yeah, you're talking about Ms. Love. She's the first apartment on the left. I said, oh, Love. Okay, Love. Uh-huh, Love. Yeah, Love. So I got out, went up, knocked on the door, locked the door with my wife in there, locked the door. And got up, knocked on the door. I said, I heard somebody, but I knocked again. Nobody answered. I knocked again. Said, who is it? I said, this is Bill Winston. I'm a preacher. I'm looking for Ms. Love. She opened the door very, you know, small and looked out. She said, yes. I said, are you Ms. Love? She said, yes. I said, Ms. Love, I have a car full of groceries out here for you. Ah! She did, and the door swung open. She said, come in here, preacher. And came in here. She said, these are my kids. They were just, you know, on an old raggedy couch and sitting there. And she said, my daughter's on drugs, and I'm trying to keep these kids. And look at this refrigerator. Didn't have anything in there. I guess a mason jar with water in it, whatever. She said, and so we got groceries, brought it up there to Miss Love. Well, the Bible talks about that. And if you look at it, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. And he said something. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And Nicholas said, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for your food, and he multiplies your seed sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, notice what happened. That as I had a seed, she had a need. Yes. And notice how I got there. by the leading of the Holy Ghost. That is the best soil you can ever sow in. And the best way you can ever sow, get a leading from the Holy Ghost. Not only that, we got there and Ms. Love said that she told the kids. The kids said, "Grandmama, when are we going to get something to eat?" She said, "Don't worry, babies. God's going to bring us something to eat." Amen. Now, notice what would happen if I had stopped at this first person or stopped at the second person. I never would have got there. So it pays to learn to hear the voice of God and follow the voice of God. But let me show you Miss Love. See, the sowing and reaping is still working. So her daughters, those are not her kids. Those are her daughter's kids. But she's sowing a sacrifice seed. And even people who work and volunteer in this ministry claim that as a seed. You can even sow a seed, giving your time. You follow what I'm saying? And so notice God then measured to her out of her need. And she got a refrigerator and so forth full of groceries. Now what happened is God didn't let me know right then, but almost a couple of weeks later, I felt the leading inside of me to have a Bible study out in that whole place. So who do you think I went to?
Miss Love.
And I didn't have to go to but one person. You don't have to send out no flyers when you got a Miss Love. And let me tell you, people were all over that Bible study, getting that Bible study. So what I'm saying is this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now we're going, when we go overseas, and we're about to go some more this month, we're going overseas for a short time and being able to minister to people, and most of the people don't have anything. And we're having to come to them. Most of them are poor. And so as we go to them and minister this word, we're actually taking the word again and dispersing this word to the poor. And I want to show you a verse here as you minister to the poor. Sometimes people think that, what can I get for ministering to the poor? It's not that you're trying to get all the time, but look at one of the benefits of it. It's found over here in Psalm chapter 41, verse 1. And he says this, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." That's a guarantee, folks. Amen. Get in trouble and you minister to the poor and God said he will deliver you. Amen. Next verse, "And the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies." I don't know whether you got any enemies out there, but you will be rescued from that. Next verse, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." Let me tell you what that means. That means when you get sick, the Lord is going to raise you up. You don't have to be concerned about it. I'm talking about some of the benefits of the covenant of taking care of the poor. So when you help me go there and take care of the poor, you qualify for this. And I'm saying it's good to know that if you get sick, God's going to raise you up. It's good to know that if the enemies are coming against you, they won't touch you. Say amen to that. And Jesus ministered to the poor, as you can see over in the book of John and so forth. So there are benefits to that. I talked last time about working the system of the world, the people of the world work that system, but God has his own system. And he wants you to work that system. Why? So we'll make sure that you have enough for every good work. And anyway, and the enemy ever come against you, God will take care of him. Because you're meeting the biblical requirements. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying with you, God has placed you here, not by coincidence, but because God is ready to use you to take care of some of the people of the earth and lift the curse off of people's lives. And I thank God that I'm being used by him. Thank God that you're here and give God a praise. We're going to give thanksgiving to God for being able to sustain us. Praise God. Amen. Well, we have the Living Word choir.